Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Our guest today is Coach Brew. Everybody knows Coach Brew. John, welcome to the show.
Great to be here with you, David. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. You know, we had you on last year during the pandemic, not that it's over, but that we still had you on, and you were working on a book. You had a new clothing line going out. You had a lot going on.
Yeah, so I think 2020, you know, everybody on New Year's time was wishing good riddance, to put it politely, to 2020, when in reality, you know, it was January 6th, 2021. Any different for most people than December 31st, 2020? No. You know, it's just a number, and it's what you make of it. And while people felt like 2020 perhaps was a horrible year, and I'm not discounting that for many, many people, whether they got COVID or not, or their business was hurt by it or not, like, I'm not discounting that. But I can tell you, for me, 2020 was one of, if not the best years of my adult life. Ask me about my 2019, and that was a very different experience. My 2019 sucked.
Yeah,
physical health issues, mental health issues. 2020 was great. I got a lot accomplished.
So let's talk about that. Let's unpack that a little bit, because, you know, in when you look at anything that comes at you, you have to look at it and say, was there a silver lining? Were there ways that it happened? How did that come about? And I'd love to unpack that a little bit. And so share with me some of the things that made it different. We know macro-wise what made it different. Yeah. But share with me what you did, what you could share with the HR audience, what you could share with C-suite and regular professionals, what you do different.
Yeah, I think it's about controlling the controllables and focusing on what you know versus what, you know, there's so many unknowns during a pandemic. Like, and what were they referring to COVID as at first? It was a novel virus, novel meaning new, novel meaning we don't know a whole lot about it. I still wonder how much we really know about it 10 months, 11 months in, you know? But the first thing I did was, like, you know, I'm not a brain surgeon. I don't know anything about epidemiology. You know, it's amazing how many of my friends on Facebook think they're freelance epidemiologists and immunologists, right?
Yes.
We all have those friends. But the first thing I did was, like, I look back at what great minds and great people did during past pandemics. Because history, like, what did Ben Franklin say? Pain instructs, and history is a great teacher. And if you don't study it, you're destined to repeat it. So as I was looking around, doing a little research, I'm like, oh, so during the I think it was the bubonic plague, Isaac Newton got sent home from Cambridge University, and he had to go back home, and he was living with his family. And it was during that pandemic and that lockdown, when he was in quarantine, that he discovered his theory of gravity, relativity. He basically also invented calculus during his lockdown. William Shakespeare, same scenario. Lockdown, in quarantine, wrote Macbeth. So, like, some great things were done by some great people. Am I comparing myself to literary genius Shakespeare? Actually I'm not. But I looked at Shakespeare and Newton, I'm like, well, if they can do that, what can I do? What can I do to try and get ahead and maximize my time instead of watching everything on YouTube and Netflix? And what I did was I wrote two books and I launched an apparel brand.
And you did it with flair and pizzazz, right?
I try. Mean,
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I've always admired about it is your ability from a marketing perspective. You have very clever marketing, even on social media, and you are what I would say very good at impromptu video, which is something that not everybody is good at. As you said, on Facebook and LinkedIn, some people just, they try, but it just doesn't have that flair. So when you went back and you said that you were going to write two books and you started a clothing company, and we talked a little bit about this in the last show, but I just want to back up for a second.
Sure.
Talk to us why you decided to write two books. Why not just one?
So we need to go back to 2019 to explain how one book turned into two. So the last book I released is in 2017. It's called Stadium Status. It was an international bestseller on Amazon. And, you know, we did some live events, Stadium Status Summit that we did in Boston after that. And people have been asking me, when are you going to, you know, since then, when are you going to release another book? We want more of this, quote, stadium status type content. So this was a perfect time to do that. And it would have just been one book in 2020 if my 2019 hadn't sucked so bad physically and mentally. I had some physical health challenges, herniated disc in my neck. I narrowly avoided spinal fusion surgery. Shout out to Phil Chamberlain, my physical therapist at Alliance Physical Therapy. The guy saved me. And I had some back and neck problems, and that caused a lot of headaches, and I had stomach pain. It was all referred pain. And once that started to go away, it would come back. Then I went into physical therapy. It was such a long journey, it became depressing. I literally became depressed. I started to have some struggles with depression, anxiety, fear around not even spinal fusion surgery, but fear around just getting a CAT scan and things like that. So I just started seeing a therapist, which I highly recommend everyone do. And I'm not kidding. Because, you know, we all have issues, challenges, anxieties, fears, whatever it might be. And we need a sounding board for that. You know, just like a business owner needs a business coach that has outside perspective on things, you know. And she encouraged me to just start journaling and writing down different things I would do to improve my mindset and my mental health on a daily basis. Not like, where are you going to be a year or 5 years from now? But like, how are you going to feel today? How are you going to feel like at noontime? You know, ask yourself, what are you going to do between now and lunch to feel better? So I just started writing down, you know, these different tips in a journal. And I decided, you know, other people could benefit from this. So, you know, the social media medium that I enjoy is Twitter. It's a little more conversational. And I just decided to create a hashtag, Brew Tips. And each day, starting on January 1st, 2020, this is pre-pandemic, I just started posting a tip a day. People started retweeting it, it gained traction. Some mental health professionals started following me and sharing that information. I did that for 365 days. Different strategies, content, links to my blog, whatever it might have been, things I was proactively doing to help myself each day, and decided this could become, you know, something that could live on beyond, you know, a day on Twitter during 2020. And it got bound and published and became a book called Move Forward. And it's a daily reader. It's just a different tip. They're not dated. So you can start it anytime and just start on tip number one and read it each day. And it's no more than a 3-minute read every day. I mean, it's literally the size of a tweet. So you could put it on the back of your toilet and read it while you're sitting on the toilet and have time to spare. You could keep it in the kitchen and read it while you're waiting for your water to boil to make tea or whatever it is. It's impossible to say I don't have time.
Well, so, you know, John, I have to laugh. You say the toilet thing, and it just made me laugh. I was in this was pre-pandemic. I was in an office building, and I walked in, and I had to use the restroom, and over the urinal was a whole bunch of stuff and tips and things. And I went in to use the commode, and next thing you know, there's a TV up on the, and each one had an iPad type thing
in there.
And I said to myself, I said, have we come that far? We're going to provide entertainment, right, for each and every, you know, I'm not sure I would have come out, but I did. It's just how it was.
You hang out in some really classy places. Got a TV on the back of the can.
Hey, because, you know. Like,
the classiest place I see a TV is when I'm pumping my gas at the Irving station and a little screen's feeding me a commercial about buying antifreeze.
No, so, well, you know, you
I need to hang out with you more often. Yeah, just not in the men's room.
No, let's not do it in the men's room. And of course, we're talking with John Brubaker, speaker, author, and executive coach. And of course, we call him Coach Brew because he is Coach Brew. You know, that is one thing I thought I'd throw out there. You know, some people may go, Coach Brew, was he a coach? And of course, the answer is yes, but share that story a little.
Yeah, so I was a college lacrosse coach for 12 years and a professor. I'm kind of a recovering educator, I call myself. But, you know, coaching's coaching. You know, leadership performance, whether it's in sports or the classroom or the boardroom, the fundamentals are all the same. You know, leadership by example, what core values you live and operate your company by, and how you lead. It doesn't change. You know, your audience changes slightly, but that's about it. The fundamentals of leadership are fundamental. And, you know, there are people who know what to do, but do they really do what they know? And that's how New Year's resolutions were invented.
Yeah.
And 80% of those people have broken them by the second week in January. So you need someone to hold you accountable and to coach you.
And that is one of the things that you really looked at in 2021. I know you put out some information at the end of the year talking about accountability and accountability coaching. You know, I think the concept is so good that really having a discussion with HR and business leaders and C-suite who are listening today, they hear the word accountability all the time. It's kind of the buzzword.
Yeah.
But you're making it an action step. You're making it an action, you know, noun, if you want to say, not just a verb. Talk a little bit about it.
Sure. So, you know, I do an online, technically it's virtual. Well, isn't everything today. But I do an online accountability. It's called Single Pin Accountability. And, you know, it's a weird name. I'll give you that. But the reason it's called Single Pin is I'm really into target archery. And I have a compound bow. I love to go to the range and shoot my bow. And the reason I love to do that is because you cannot think about work, life stress. You cannot think about anything else other than aiming for the center, the tiny little dot in the center of that paper target that's like 30, 40 yards downrange. And there's a very much a meditative quality to it. And you got this little round scope that you aim through, just like you'd have like on a rifle or anything else that you're using to target shoot with. And there are these, on the scope, there are all these different pins. You know, there's a pin that you kind of line up the bullseye of the target with. If you're at 20 yards, if you're at 30 yards, if you're at 40, you use a different one. And it creates what you call sight clutter. So there's five different things kind of on your radar, so to speak, versus if you had a scope that just had one single pin, which is like a bright little LED dot dead center in it. So this guy that I always end up being at the range in the lane next to him, and he's a world champion archer. And, you know, he's won New England's. He's forgotten more about archery than most people in America have ever learned. And I just get smarter being next to him, watching him. And occasionally, you know, he'll stop and coach me a little and give me some pointers. And one day, this is about 2.5 years ago, he said, hey, man, you mind if I take a look at your bow for you? I think I could really help you. I'm like, sure. So I'm just spraying the arrows all over the back wall, missing the target. And he changed out my scope, just out of the goodness of his heart, completely changed out my scope. He's like, here, try this. And it was just one pin at the center. and is so, it's just a simple, elegant solution that most people would overlook. And when you think about why people don't accomplish something, whether it's seeing a project through to the finish line in the workplace, a personal goal, whatever it is, you get site clutter. You got too many things on your radar as opposed to that one single pin, so to speak. So I use that as a metaphor for my coaching and for holding people accountable. So my coaching clients will report to me, here's my big goal for 2021. And each week by Friday at 5, at the time that we're recording this, it's Friday afternoon, they have to report back to me with what they did. If they didn't achieve their weekly goal that fits into that broader annual goal, like what was the task? Did you achieve it or not? And if not, why not? And question three simply is, what are you going to do next week? And then I'll reply back with a little coaching, but it's just keeping people focused and on task.
John, it's such a simple message. That's what I like about it. And we're going to talk about it more when we come back on the next segment of the HR Power Hour, which you're listening to on 100.5 FM WLOB. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And you're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. Of course, today our guest is Coach Brew, or John Brubaker, speaker, author, executive coach, and author of the new book, Beyond Stadium Status. So, John, we talked a little about it in the last segment, this new book. Tell us a little bit about, obviously you had stadium status, you now have beyond stadium status. Are they, and you mentioned this one other time, but I think it's important. Is it a sequel? Could it be written, or, you know, seen separately? Tell me us a little bit.
It's the kind of book you could pick it up and, start any chapter and you'd have an actionable strategy you could put to use in your business the second you put the book down. It makes sense to read stadium status first, but it's not like there's any prerequisite or like you wouldn't air quotes get it if you didn't. I actually explain what stadium status means in the introduction to the sequel. So technically it's a sequel because it's written, along a similar vein, but it's, very much, its own thing. And it's really kind of stadium status on steroids, so to speak. Like the examples are even more outside of the box, weird, a little radical, and things that a small business owner, a solopreneur, if you work, inside a corporation, things you could use to move the needle in a unique way that your competition isn't doing.
Now, when you're looking at talking about tips or ideas that people move forward with, is there something that you could give it as an example, right? So that if somebody listening today was saying, well, do you got an example like from the book that would help me understand?
So from Beyond Stadium Status, the example I would give you is intellectual resources will always, always trump financial resources. And there was somebody a year or so ago who I had no idea who he was. I enjoy comedy, stand-up comedy, and I had no idea who the name Pete Davidson was. I don't watch Saturday Night Live, so I didn't know he was a cast member on SNL. I just heard he came out with tour dates for his stand-up shows, and the only way I even found out about him was his name was trending on Twitter. And I'm thinking, this is odd, because I follow comedy pretty religiously, because those guys, I think, are the ultimate entrepreneurs. They're the ultimate solo entrepreneurs. You know, you're either selling tickets and making money or you're not, and you got to show up every night and bring it and be funny, or you're going to be quickly unemployed. Like, you got to get results day in and day out. You can't take a night off. So those guys impress me from an entrepreneurial standpoint, from a leadership performance standpoint. I'm thinking, this is weird. Who is this nobody who apparently is a comedian who's trending on Twitter on the same day that Eddie Murphy announced his return to stand-up comedy after, you know, decades of being in retirement, the same week that Dave Chappelle and Bill Burr released their brand new one-hour specials. And none of those guys are trending. I'm not saying Twitter and trending is the be-all, end-all, but I thought it was interesting. And this I wrote about in the very beginning of Stadium and Beyond Stadium Status. So a pet peeve most entertainers have, and I think most employers probably have, and I know as a parent I have it, is people on cell phones. My kids are on their cell phone. I have to tell them to put their cell phones away at dinner. You know, they have to sleep with their phone in a different room than in their bedroom. People go to concerts and they're on their phones instead of enjoying the music. People are on their phones or they're recording the comedy at the comedy show. And then they post it online. So if you could see the show on Instagram TV or YouTube, you have no reason to buy a hard ticket and actually go to the club. And that's how these comedians make their money. That's how, you know, entertainers make their money, is selling tickets. So company came up with a concept. It's a company called Yonder, Yondr. And they have these pouches that when you scan your ticket at the gate at a show, they put your phone in a pouch and they lock the pouch. Your phone's on lockdown and they hand you the pouch, but you can't unlock it while you're in the venue watching the show. Now, you can leave your phone on, you can feel it vibrate if it's in your pocket or your purse, in case like you're worried that, oh, you know, my kid's at home with a babysitter, maybe something happened. You run out into the lobby and they have, it's almost like those plastic clips on retail clothing at the stores. So they can't get stolen. You know, the cashier has to unhook it and unclip it. Well, you go to like a little station, a little kiosk, and it'll unlock the bag. But you can't have a phone out in the venue. Now, the venue won't pay for that. The individual performer, like Ariana Grande, U2, Dave Chappelle, whoever, has to pay for that on their part of the contract. And it's freaking expensive. It is expensive. So instead of, and here's where it's a long story, but here's where intellectual resources trump financial. So all these big name comics and musicians and all these big name acts that sell out arenas and stadiums are spending a small fortune cutting into their own profits for these Yonder bags. Pete Davidson decides, what if I just had a lawyer write up a non-disclosure agreement that everyone had to sign when they purchased their ticket? If they posted content from inside the venue, they owe me $1 million. So his ticketing agency, whether it's Live Nation or Ticketmaster or whoever, and it's on his website as well, if you bought a ticket through his website, you had to sign this NDA and send it back with your payment. Like you would do an electronic signature.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant, because what happened was no one's ever done this, you know? No. So people are like complaining about him on Twitter, which, you know, we're in an attention economy and there's no bad press, so to speak. And then people after the shows were saying, I went to a P. Pete Davidson show, but I can't tell you about it because if I do, I owe him $1 million. And it just became funny. People were saying he's really funny, but you'll never hear that from me because I signed a non-disclosure agreement. And one person, like a hater, obviously, just said it's a hell of a horrible way to try and for a nobody to try and become relevant. And it's an expletive move. And you can fill in the expletive with whatever you want. Whichever, and I guarantee
whatever
you
choose. Yes.
And I guarantee you it won't be as horrible as what this person really said. And I actually think it is a hell of a way to become relevant. And you're not a blankety blank for doing it. You're using intellectual resources to grow your brand. He couldn't afford to buy those, to rent those Yonder bags at every tour stop. Yeah. Most people can't. So it's, how can you compete against the big guys in your industry, in your market, in your space, using intellectual resources in a way that they're not? I guarantee you, like every one of those major acts is kicking themselves saying, why didn't we think of that first? How much money we would have saved? Six figures easily.
Oh, sure. No question about it. And it's just it's thinking outside the box. It's being innovative. It's looking at things in a different way. It's being able to take a wide look rather than a narrow look at what potentially could be your options out there. And again, we're talking with John Brubaker, of course, Coach Brew, speaker, author, executive coach, and he has a new book, Beyond Stadium Status. You're also, of course, listening to David Chulo, your host, because, hey, I have to tell you that. It's fun stuff. And, of course, the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. John, as you're preparing and you're putting all this information in the book, were there things that you said, well, I got more for another book later?
So... It's interesting because here's what I do. Like every time I write a book, I'll create more content than I'll actually publish.
Of course.
But I'll say I'll use round numbers here. Let's say I need to get something down to 15 chapters. That's kind of my quota the editor or the publisher's given me. I'll submit 25, and I'll ask people to review all 25, is scale of 0 to 10, rank the chapters, rate them 0 to 10. And anything that's under an 8 or 9 doesn't make the cut.
Right.
And I'll start the process over again, with the next book. So there's always a little extra content that, could be, used for something else. But, I want to make sure that I put my best foot forward with the book, in every way possible.
Well, certainly marketing the book and getting this information out there, since you do a lot of speaking, you do a lot of online work, has changed in 2020. HR professionals, business leaders today have had to change dramatically in 2020 and still here in 2021. What are some thoughts or tips of what you've learned in terms of getting messaging out, getting communication out, getting information out in general that you could provide to the audience today?
The biggest thing is a little, a lot beats a lot, a little. And the example I'll give you is actually, one of the tips from my other book that I just published called Move Forward. And it's the concept of brushing your teeth. Would you ever, David, think to yourself, I ought to brush my teeth twice a month for 2 hours at a time?
No.
But would you, but do you brush your teeth twice a day for 2 minutes?
That's about right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, that's analogous to like everything we do. Is you're better off doing a little, a lot, a little frequently than trying to carve out a ton of time, once or twice a month for anything, because we'll find reasons not to do it, and it's just healthier for you to approach things, in bite-sized pieces. I had probably the best boss I ever had, didn't do annual or semi-annual reviews. And I just asked him why one day. He's like, John, you've known me long enough to know my annual, my performance review, I do, you know, every single day, you know, if whether we're meeting or if I just, you know, cross you in passing, you know, my performance review is always happening. I don't need to wait to the end of the year to give you some coaching or correction, whatever it might be. And it's that whole concept of a little, a lot beats a lot, a little.
Well, there's no question that, you know, that's a big thing that's happening in the industry, right? So we're seeing yearly performance reviews start to get down into quarterly or monthly or what, you know, in terms of that. Certainly there's a legal aspect of documentation that's really important. Sure. And we all know that. But, you know, we all hated doing them yearly. We all hate them doing yearly because we had the Horner halo effect. We even remembered them for the last few weeks, the last few months, and we forgot what they did 11, 12 months ago. And they would remind you, and you'd almost seem silly or stupid. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did do that. That's why we created self-reviews, so that we could get all the data in advance and look smart about that. That's the, you know, that's the reality of it. And so now I think, and I agree with you, that doing content, doing coaching, you know, at the time it happens, or at least shortly thereafter, is critical to make things work.
It's also part of the human condition with our attention spans today. And I mentioned this in Stadium Status is, you know, there's some research from an article in Business Insider in 2017 that the human attention span is actually shorter than a goldfish. Goldfish is 8 seconds. Human is
seven,
six.
I think. Oh, is it six?
Six or seven. Yeah, it's either six or seven. But, I mean, that is quite the indictment.
You know, I have this immediate need to want to pucker up.
Right? Yeah.
In terms of it's pretty funny.
And it's, you know, it's that old expression, or the new expression, I should say, is TLDR. Too long, didn't read.
Wow. Nobody
it's
reads
amazing.
More
yeah, it's amazing how short some of the things are that people label TLDR.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we need to be mindful of our people's attention span and respectful of that and find a way to meet them where they are.
Well, we're going to come right back after the next commercial break. And we're going to be talking with John about his new clothing company, why it's so important, why it's making headway and has a new, you know, what is it they call it? Influencer to talk about as well. And we'll be right back on the HR Power Hour at News Talk. WLOB 100.5 FM. Talk to you soon.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And you're back and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Our guest today is John Brubaker, coach, executive coach, speaker, author, jack of all trades when it comes to being master of none. Is that a pretty good assessment there? Or are you
You left out global icon, but you're forgiven.
No, that's all right. Most people leave
that out in their description.
There's no question about that. So, you know, we talked a lot about your book. We've talked a lot about some great tips for 2021 that you're providing. I mentioned in the end of the last segment, we're going to talk about your new brand. And I say it's still new because it's still, I see it up on the wall if you're watching on the YouTube channel that John has. Where do you listen, John, if somebody wants to go and see a YouTube video of this?
BrewTube. Yeah, it's youtube.com/CoachBrewTube.
Perfect. We'll do that. And this is Chid Up, Chest Out is the name of the brand. You know, back when you started all this, I got introduced to it. As you know, big supporter, have a couple of pictures. I have one on your site. We're going to talk about that. We have to change that. But that's okay. It's all good. You know, it's all video. No, it's all good. And, you know, tell me a little bit about, once again, why you did this.
Yeah, so when we began the show, I mentioned that 2019 was a rough year for me. Physical challenges, mental health issues, diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and chin up, chest out was actually the mantra that my physical therapist gave me, because he said, you have horrible posture as a result of sitting in front of a keyboard so much as a writer. And, you know, you think about how much time we all spend, whether you're an author or not, just like, you know, hacking away at emails and typing up, you know, memos and things and, you know, online. And if you don't have like an ergonomic workstation or standing desk, it can wreak havoc on your body to the point where you kind of develop this long-term pattern. And in my case, I developed a pinched nerve, a herniated disc in my neck, and I couldn't move my right arm, which is kind of scary as a writer, not to be able to move your arm. And so he just said, you need to keep your chin up, your chest out, and have better posture. And I'm like, you know what? That isn't just advice to overcome a herniated disc in your neck. Like, that's how we all need to bounce back from adversity with everything we do. We need to keep our chin up, chest out, and move forward. You know, you're having a bad day, and all you can focus on is the next step. You know, think about how bad of a driver you would be if you're in, even you, David, in your gorgeous Grand National.
Oof, my car.
Your baby. I love that car. If you were trying to drive it, looking through the rearview mirror the whole time instead of the windshield, and you know, that's a popular, probably a tired old analogy or metaphor, I forget which it is, but it's true. Like, none of us would be good drivers,
right,
driving through the rearview mirror, but we spend so much of our life, you know, worrying about the past, looking back on things, regretting things, you know, focusing on, you know, what happened versus, you know, what's ahead. And it's just not healthy. So, you know, move forward is really kind of the mantra for me. What's the next step? You know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I watched a video you had posted with a basketball player, and I don't remember the team. And the guy had missed the shot, and the other team, he dropped his shoulders, dropped his head. And this player came over, just tapped him on the, you know, lifted his chin and pushed him from the back and moved on. And I thought that was a great video that just encapsulated, like, hey, it happens. Move on. Make it happen.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you mention that, because at the exact same time I was going through all this, that happened. And I was watching the game, and it was a guy named Jalen Hands, who's point guard for UCLA. They were in a playoff game in the Pac-12 conference playoff against University of Oregon. And his teammate is a freshman center, took the inbounds pass and really just, you know, had a mental lapse and accidentally passed it to the wrong team. So the other team went down, scored a quick basket. His teammate, Jalen Hands, who I think was the team captain and a leader, walks over to him because the kid's just walking down the court with his head hanging down, kind of like the loser's limp. You know, his head's hanging down, his shoulders are slumped. And Jalen, you know, the kid's like 3 feet taller than Jalen. So Jalen reaches up, pops his chin up with his hand, and pats him on the back, and, you know, just kind of puts his other hand on his chest, like, you know, literally get your chin up, your chest out. You got to focus on the next play. You know, we all make mistakes. And just that was all it took to snap that kid right back into the game. He was thinking about the last play, not the next play. He wasn't moving forward. He was looking through the windshield, the rearview mirror instead of the windshield. Well, and they end up coming back and winning that game in the last 2 minutes. And it was a miraculous comeback. And, you know, I won't say that's the reason, but it sure did help. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, if you think about it, you're only – you put five on the court in basketball. And if one of your five is thinking about the last play, it's really like you're only – you're playing 4-on-5 against the other team because they're not present in the moment. Think about how many times people in the workplace aren't present in the moment.
No, it's very true. And we're just, you know, we're having distractions left and right all the time, you know, and doing things that are not productive. You know, there's so much unproductive time that happens. And we do get discouraged. And certainly 2020 created a little bit of that. And I think we need to, in 2021, move forward in a different way. So tell us about the clothing line. Tell me what's going on with that.
So it's really, it's advertising yourself. You got to advertise what you want, not what you don't want. And, you know, for me, it's advertising that chin up, chest out mindset. So it's on t-shirts, hats, winter hats, you know, it's just a wide variety of apparel. Because that's sort of, you know, for me, it's my work uniform. And, you know, I want to see that, you know, on, you know, just about everywhere I can as a visual reminder. You think about, you know, why McDonald's spends billions of dollars on advertising, because it works. And when you're hungry in a pinch, you're going to run over there instead of Wendy's or Burger King, you know. Same thing with Nike, same thing with any brand. I think, you know, we need to launch our own internal advertising campaign to ourselves. Otherwise, our mental health will suffer. You know, right now, as we speak, suicide rates are the highest they've been since World War II. The National Alliance on Mental Illness, which is one of my partner charities, has seen their helpline, which is email and an 800 number, has seen a 65% increase in calls and emails since March of 2020. And it's not even like a crisis hotline. It's just a helpline, you know? So I think that, you know, we need to remove the stigma on mental health. And that's really what, you know, I'm trying to do with this, and also just sharing my story. And the thing I find really interesting is there's no stigma on physical health. Like, I could tell you, hey, I had a herniated disc in my neck. I almost needed surgery. I went to physical therapy. But if you tell someone, you know, I had a mental injury or trauma or anxiety or whatever, I went to see a therapist, there tends to be a stigma on that. Still, it's getting better. I think the younger generation, it's not as much of a stigma. But, you know, we go for an annual physical every year. Well, why don't we schedule an annual mental? We get a physical exam, but we don't do, you know, we don't take a depression inventory every year.
It's true. We don't.
That's... And we should, because those two things are so intimately tied. I mean, my physical health deteriorating caused my mental health to deteriorate in 2019. Those things are so intimately connected with everyone. And I'm just trying to bring some more awareness to that and, you know, kind of lead by example and have a positive message, you know.
Well, you know, you're doing some great stuff with it. And of course, you know, one of the things that I do love is that you're partnering with other organizations. You're providing some give back to the community and to the mental health industry. You're partnering with influencers to try to get the message out. I think it's a great way. And you know that certainly we promoted it here on the HR Power Hour, and I promoted it on social media because I think it is a great message to be delivering to everybody.
I appreciate that. And you know, people have heard of the Joe Rogan effect. And I am here. This is my testimony that the David Chulo effect is just as powerful as the Joe Rogan effect, because you've really, thanks to you, the brand has grown, awareness about us has grown. We have new customers, and the HR Power Hour and David Chulo is powerful. So thank you.
Well, you know, I'd love to say it's me, but it's you, the audience. It's you, the audience out there that is following, making it happen. And we cannot thank you enough for doing that. And as we get ready for the last segment of the show, I just want to remind you that the HR Power Hour is now podcasting on national platforms, iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, and others. So please go like, share, listen. And we'll be right back for the next segment and last segment of the HR Power Hour today. That's on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. Be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. Our guest today is John Brubaker, and he is an executive coach, speaker, author, and he has a new book, Beyond Stadium Status, and an awesome clothing line, Chin Up, Chest Out, and you can go hear all about it. We're going to talk about that at the end here, about where you can find it. John, as we wrap up the show today, last segment, if somebody's listening, if they're saying to themselves, hey, what was the takeaway? We just arrived on the show 5 minutes ago, haven't heard everything. What are the three big things, maybe, that people can take away? Could be two, but could be three.
I think the biggest thing, and this is straight out of Beyond Stadium Status, is outmanned does not equal outmatched. Because your intellectual resources will always trump financial resources. So you just need to get creative. Be more creative than your competition. And, you know, be different. It's called the Van Restorff effect. You can see 100 things that look awfully similar, but you will remember the one thing out of 100 that looks so incredibly uniquely different, you can't help but notice it. And you know, I think every business can have their own variation of that, whether you're a restaurant, you're a contractor, it doesn't matter. But you want to be different, or you're going to be invisible, because you know, people tend to be copycat brands. You know, think about every four-door sedan you see on the roads. All look awfully similar. And then there's the Mini Cooper and the Humvee or the Hummer. Like, they couldn't look more dissimilar from everything else on the road. And you tend to remember them, but you wouldn't know the difference between Toyota Camry, a Honda Accord, or a Nissan Maxima if you just saw them fly by at 70 miles an hour on the turnpike.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, as we wrap up the year in 2020 and now head into 2021, you know, I know we've already had a few months pass, but what do you think is a great tip to have HR professionals and business leaders think about for the second, third, and fourth quarter?
For your people, you know, there's a lot of talk about with COVID now, your immune system and strengthening your immune system and vitamin supplements. But what isn't being talked about is people strengthening their mental immune system. And, you know, I'll look at it like any virus, like a cold. You can catch a cold, but you can't catch wellness. It's something you intend. And I think that, you know, HR professionals, leaders, C-suite executives listening to this, I think we need to protect, first of all, yourself, your own mental health, the same way you protect your physical health. And when you do that, you're modeling what you want to see from your people. you know, but we also need to help them strengthen their mental immune system.
No, it's a great message. And so if somebody wants to buy your book or get the clothing, tell us a little about how they do it, because it's not what everybody thinks.
No, you go to coachbru.com, coachbru.com, and you can buy the book there. I've taken a position that, big tech, Amazon, Apple, Google, they decide who they do business with, who they allow to be hosted on their platforms. And it's not censorship. People are saying, oh, it's censorship. It's not. It's private business. Well, I've decided to take a stand that I will not have my book being hosted by Amazon, who, like Jeff Bezos, made more money in the history of his company during the pandemic than any other year, while small businesses were getting crushed. Same thing with Google and Apple. You know, the pandemic didn't affect them, but it affected the mom and pop shop down the street, the local restaurant. So my book is only being, quote, hosted and sold through small businesses, my website, or, private independently owned bookstore. And I think that's kind of a great recalibration for people, is to support each other locally.
How about the clothing line, John?
Yeah, the clothing line is exclusively available online. You can go to chinupchestout.com, and a percentage of all sales go to mental health organizations around the country as our way of giving back and supporting a message we believe strongly in.
You know what? It's been a great show today. I really appreciate you coming back on. You're always invited. Welcome back. We'll certainly have another conversation maybe later in the year. I hope the audience goes to both those sites. A, you can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show. We will have the links to both the clothing as well as the book, as well as John's bio and a picture of him, which, of course, you cannot hardly wait to see. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. And, John, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Doug Currier from Verrill. Today, I want to talk for a moment about listening. Listening to your employees. Really, in any relationship, we all just want to be heard. And having a boss tell you that you have no right to feel the way you do, well, that doesn't make someone feel heard. So when an employee comes to you with a concern, resist the urge to just tell the employee why it is they're wrong. And don't ever revert to those phrases like, well, if you don't like it here, there's the door. Instead, try to acknowledge their feelings. Say something like, I can see why that would be hard, or I can understand why that can be frustrating. And then instead of immediately rejecting their ask, whatever it may be, really try and understand their perspective and express a willingness to consider what they are saying. Maybe ask the employee for the recommended solution. If it requires some thinking, maybe circle back with the employee to talk through it some more, at which point you can use that opportunity to share your perspective. Make it a discussion, not a lecture. To further discuss strategies for effective communication with your employees, please contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.